Well, Tennessee started off strong as we expected it to, but ran out of gas against the number one team in the country in Georgia, falling to the Bulldogs 41-17. Let's dive into this matchup. What can Tennessee take from this Georgia game into the final 2 weeks of the regular season? We'll tell you all that and more here on a Monday Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome into a Monday edition of Locked On Vols. It's your team every single day. I'm your host, Eric Kane. So glad to have you guys along for the ride. Appreciate you guys making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. You can find this podcast at _Kaner. That's my handle on Twitter. And at Locked On Vols. Locked On Vols is 5 days a week, completely free on every single platform. And YouTube is coming soon. I'm your host, Eric Kane, a radio personality in Knoxville, Tennessee, and also write for the rival site covering Tennessee, VolQuest.com. So, Tennessee falls to Georgia 41-17. We expected that, right? I mean, this is not breaking news. The conversation was, really, what could Tennessee do against Georgia? I mean, this Georgia defense is elite. And if you didn't believe me last week, maybe you start believing me while watching that football game. Team speed on defense for Georgia. That's something that, I mean, even I was surprised at. I knew coming in that they were fast and they were good, but just watching that team speed, the linebackers flow, the defensive linemen get back into position, the secondary guys closing gaps in a hurry and coming up and sticking and making tackles, it was impressive. And Tennessee did move the football against Georgia. Tennessee did do some things, but overall, it was how could Tennessee perform against Georgia and could it make things interesting? And well, just like in typical Tennessee fashion, it stormed out of the gate, scored on its opening possession, and took a lead. And you know that's something that Tennessee has done many, many times. It held a first quarter lead 10-7. That's the first time all season Georgia has trailed after one. It was tied scoreless against Clemson way back when, but it never trailed until falling behind to Tennessee 10-7 at the end of the first quarter. It was the first time all season long Georgia had allowed a touchdown in the first quarter, and of course that came on the opening possession of Tennessee. It surrendered 6.6 points per game, did this Georgia defense, and Tennessee had 10 in the first quarter. So the fastest scoring offense, or the highest scoring offense in the first quarter in the nation, Tennessee, it did exactly what we thought it would do in the first quarter, and it jumped out to an early lead and did some things against the Georgia defense. But the question was, could it sustain? Would it be good enough to sustain all four quarters long? And that was the worry for me in knowing this team at like the back of my hand, knowing the depth issues, knowing the talent gaps in some places, and seeing how Tennessee's performed against the likes of Florida, Alabama at the very end already this season. And so that was the question for me, and unfortunately, it didn't happen. I feel like it's just going to, you know, I know it's nothing you want to hear, but it's just going to take some time. Tennessee's got to get some guys in this program. Yeah, sure, some more talented guys, don't get me wrong, but also just some guys, just some depth, help with the rotation. Again, Tennessee, we talk about it every single day on this pod, man. It's Tennessee at linebacker plays nobody. Tennessee's hesitant to play anybody in the secondary. Tennessee needs more game changers on the edge to go after and get after the quarterback. For the second straight week in a row, Tennessee only managed three tackles for loss. This is a Tennessee team that entering yesterday was leading the Power 5 conference in TFLs. Which is good. It's still up there among the nation leaders, but it was leading the nation at one point in time with 70 TFLs prior to the bye week. Tennessee's combined for 6 TFLs in the last 2 weeks. And so you just need some more bodies, and that just takes some time. It's frustrating because when you're all over the teams like Missouri and all over the teams like South Carolina and winning, you know, showing out and lighting up the scoreboard and all that, you think you can compete with the likes of Florida, Georgia, Alabama a little bit more, and it's sustainability, right? And it's just going to take a little time to build this roster back up. But nonetheless, on Saturday afternoon, really, it was a 3:30 kickoff on CBS. Tennessee did exactly what we thought they would do. It would storm out of the gate, took an early lead, opening possession, and it was a drive that capped, 10 plays? It was 10 plays, 77 yards, took 3 minutes and 11 seconds off the clock, ate some time, and did a good job. And this is how it sounded on the Vol Radio Network when Valus Jones got in the end zone from 9 yards out.
Bunch package to the right. Handoff. Tailback. No, they fake it. They fire out in the right flat. Bayless Jones catches to the pylon, to the checkerboard. Touchdown, Tennessee. Bayless Jones. Play fake up the middle. Hendon Hooker rolled right. Hit Bayless Jones, who just got inside the pylon. And Tennessee strikes first against Georgia and leads 6-0.
Georgia responded on its next possession. 6 plays, 78 yards, 2 minutes and 28 seconds. So both these teams scored touchdowns on their opening possessions. James Cook, 39-yard touchdown run to make it 7-7. And then Tennessee gets right back into the scoring column later on in the first quarter, I should say. 1:39 left in that quarter. Tennessee marches 13 plays, 76 yards, takes 3 minutes and 47 seconds off the clock. Tennessee retakes the lead at 10-7, a Chase McGrath 24-yard field goal.
McGrath kicking it right to left. Snap is down. The kick on the way, and that kick spinning through the uprights. Good. Tennessee takes the lead with 1:38 to go on the first quarter.
At 9:42 in the second quarter, Pottlesley of Georgia ties it once again at 10-10 as he connects on a 40-yard field goal, capping a 9-play, 44-yard drive with 3:46 left in this ball game. And then Georgia takes its first lead of the day, 17-10 at 7:24 in the second quarter, when Stetson Bennett runs in from 9 yards out to cap a 5-play, 40-yard drive and taking 1:32 off the clock. Georgia begins to open it up to a 2-touchdown lead, 24-10, with just under 1 minute left in the second quarter. James Cook hauls in a 23-yard pass from Stetson Bennett. It was man-to-man coverage, motioned to him out of the backfield, out wide to the right. Solon Page, the linebacker, had to follow in man-to-man coverage. Stetson Bennett saw the mismatch and took advantage, and Georgia led 24-10 at the halftime break. Well, Pottlesley again connects on 26-yard field goal to make it 27-10, capping a 13-play, 74-yard drive that took 5 minutes and 7 seconds off the clock. That was just under 5 minutes ago in the third quarter. And again, Georgia led 27-10 before scoring just inside the fourth quarter. It was James Cook again, a 5-yard rush, 7 plays, 60 yards, 2:51 off the clock, and it was a rout from there, 34-10 over Tennessee. Georgia again would add one more touchdown on to make it 41-10. Kenny McIntosh, a 5-yard run at 7:03 left in the ballgame. 6 plays, 73 yards at 3:43 off the clock. Before Tennessee gets on the board a final time, just under 4 minutes to go in this football game. Joe Milton is in at quarterback, and some of the other backups in on that offensive line reward Cedric Tillman for a job well done on the day. A 12-yard touchdown pass on a slant from the wide side of the field. Joe Milton connects with Cedric Tillman, and here's how it sounded on the Vol Radio Network.
Milton out of the shotgun, back to throw. Sets up, fires for the end zone. The pass is going to be
caught.
Touchdown, Tennessee. What a strike, and Cedric Tillman.
Cedric Tillman again.
Caps off a big, big night with that touchdown grab as Joe Milton, he gunned that one right to Cedric Tillman in the end zone. And the Volunteers get their first points of the second half to make it 41-16.
And boy, Cedric Tillman had himself a day. We will talk about that here in segment number 2 when we go over the stats. But man, Cedric Tillman did a fine, fine job on this day. So 41-17 is the final score. Again, it's you look at the score, and unlike the Alabama game, you can't really say that the score is not indicative of the football game. The score was very much indicative of the football game. Georgia is the number one team in the country, and it's not even close. That is the best team I've seen play all year long. Is Georgia's offense anything to brag about? I mean, sure it is. It's not overwhelming, though. But that defense, again, you're seeing why all the talk is real about that Georgia defense. Georgia improves to 10-0, 8-0 in the SEC, and Tennessee falls to 5-5, 3-4 in the Southeastern Conference. What went well for Tennessee? What didn't go well for Tennessee? We will break down the stats here on the other side. But first, I want to remind you guys about Prize Picks. All right. Have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is your daily fantasy made easy. I love it, and I believe you will as well. It's the leader in college sports daily fantasy. It offers more college football props than anyone in the world and offers the star players of the Power 5 as well as the mid-majors. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. And all of you guys, on your first deposit, if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you're going to get 100% instant deposit match up to $100. You just need the promo code LOCKEDON. You pick the 2 to 5 players, the over and under, and the projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. PrizePicks allows mixed sports entries as well, so you can take the over in LeBron's points and the under in Mahomes' touchdowns. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. And PrizePicks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out PrizePicks.com. Use that promo code LOCKEDON or go to the App Store and download the app today. PrizePicks, it's daily fantasy made easy. Segment number two of a Monday show. Welcome back into it, guys. I'm your host, Eric Kane, here on Locked On Vols. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols again, as always, your first listen. Don't forget, Twitter Tuesday is tomorrow. Plenty of questions about the Georgia game. What about South Alabama and Vanderbilt, Tennessee basketball, all that and more. Get me in your Twitter Tuesday questions at _Kaner and at Locked On Vols. So let's go ahead and move back into Tennessee game against Georgia. The stats, well, they're a little lopsided in some areas, as you'd expect. Georgia had 487 yards of total offense on 70 plays, averaging 7 yards per play. Tennessee, 387 yards of total offense on 84 plays. That was good to see Tennessee get back up in 80-plus plays on a game, 4.6 yards per play. Tennessee threw the football for 332 combined yards between Joe Milton and, of course, Hendon Hooker. Georgia threw it for 213. Tennessee ran it for only 55 yards on the day, and Georgia ran it for 274 yards on the day. Tennessee did have 121 yards gained on the ground, but because of sacks, you lost 55 yards, and that's where you stand at just a total of 55 on the balance sheet for yards rushing. Tennessee had 22 first downs. Georgia had 26. Tennessee possessed the football for 27 minutes and 20 seconds, which is really, really good, especially considering you only had 13 minutes of possession time in the whole game against Kentucky. Tennessee came up about 5 seconds short of time of possession in the first half against Georgia than it did in the entire game against Kentucky. I found that interesting. Tennessee was 9 of 20 on third downs. Georgia was 5 of 12 on third downs. Tennessee was 3 of 5 on fourth downs. Georgia did not commit a fourth down conversion. Tennessee of 3 of 5 in red zone opportunities. Georgia, of course, was 3 of 4. And Tennessee gave up 6 sacks for a loss of 57 yards. Tennessee did get 2 sacks for a loss of 18 yards. Georgia scored 14 points off those 2 turnovers for Tennessee. In a game where you needed Hendon Hooker to be the best he's ever been to beat the number one team in the land in Georgia, Hendon Hooker probably played his worst game. And again, you look at the stat sheet, it's not that bad. Like, it's not horrible, right? I mean, think about the quarterback play we've gotten the last couple of years. I mean, think about the Kentucky game in 2020, the pick six game. Just think about just some of the dreadful quarterback play we've had. And I'm not trying to just pound on Jerry Garantano here. I'm just saying Hendon Hooker did not play his best game. I would probably say it was a bad game for Hendon Hooker, right? But it was still not that bad. 24 of 37, 244 yards, a touchdown, and an interception thrown. But he was off. He sailed many throws. He missed throws that he normally makes. He could not connect on the deep ball a lot of the times. I put up a chart of the game, and my notes are at volquest.com. And if you guys have saw some of that, I chart overthrows for Tennessee quarterbacks in this game. And, man, it was something to pay attention to earlier in the season, but really not here of late. But against Georgia on Saturday, it was something to pay attention to. There was one long ball to Ramel Keaton in the third quarter that I thought Keaton should have had. It was just off the outstretch of his fingertips down the far sideline. Keaton was watching that ball for 30 yards rather, instead of just running and not losing any speed. I'm not going to put that on Hendon Hooker, but there was a lot of other ones. Critical fourth down throws that Hendon Hooker missed that he just sailed. There was one I didn't even know. It was a fourth down conversion. I didn't even know who he was throwing to. Was it Valus Jones? Was it Cedric Tillman? I don't know. The interception was like that. Who were you throwing to? You just sailed it. On a day, again, where Tennessee needed Hendon Hooker to be the best he's ever been, he probably played his worst game, and so it's a little unfortunate nonetheless to say that. But Hendon Hooker, again, those were his stats. Joe Milton, 6 of 10 coming in relief, playing the last 2 series of the game, 88 yards, and that touchdown we heard from the Vol Radio Network to Cedric Tillman. Rushing the football, Jabari Small, I thought, was fine. 12 carries, 49 yards was his net. He didn't score a touchdown, averaging 4.1 yards per carry. I thought he ran hard. Again, this is an elite front, okay? So the numbers don't look that great, but Small in 12 opportunities, I mean, if you give him just a couple more carries, you know, his numbers would look a little bit better. I thought he was patient. I thought his vision was really, really sharp. And so I thought Jabari Small overall played a pretty decent game, even though the numbers really aren't going to reflect that. Hendon Hooker, 17 carries. He gained 58 yards, all right, but he lost 51 yards in sacks given up, okay, or just negative runs. So Hendon Hooker gained a lot, but he also lost a lot, so his net rushing is only 7 yards. Jalen Wright came on, 14 yards on 5 carries. Of course, no Tyon Evans in this football game for Tennessee. Cedric Tillman, what a day. 10 receptions on 13 targets, 200 yards. He had receptions of 53 yards and 51 yards to help out with those. But he was phenomenal, and he continues to show why he is one of the better receivers in this conference. Velus Jones, 8 receptions off 11 targets, 44 yards, and a touchdown. Ramel Keaton, who came on for Javonte Payton in that first quarter and played the rest of the game, I thought he stepped up and played really, really well. 5 catches off 9 targets, 48 yards. Jalen Hyatt played a pretty decent game, 5 receptions off 7 targets, 24 yards. A lot of outs to Jalen Hyatt. Payton had caught that one pass for 8 yards before going out with an injury. Princeton Fant was targeted 4 times, hauled in 1 for 8 yards. Jacob Warren and Jimmy Holiday were held receptionless off a combined 3 targets. Paxton Brooks had 4 punts for 180 yards combined, averaging 45, 1 inside the 20. Chase McGrath was good on his one and only field goal attempt from 24 yards. And Toby Wilson had 4 kickoffs for a combined 239 yards and 2 touchbacks. You look at the other side, though, James Cook had himself a day. 10 carries, 104 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I don't know why James Cook is not the premier back in this offense. I mean, I'm not saying Zamir White's a bad back because he's not. He's played a lot of football. He had 55 yards off 12 carries, but James Cook is good. James Cook was really, really good against Tennessee. Tennessee just didn't have an answer for him. James Cook also caught a touchdown catch, 4 receptions, 43 yards on that one wherever Stetson Bennett motioned him out and Solon Page was covering him and he threw it into the end zone on the far sideline. Yeah, James Cook had himself a ball game. Adonai Mitchell had 5 receptions off 6 targets for 65 yards. Kyrus Jackson, 2 receptions, 32 yards. Brock Bowers, the tight end, 2 receptions, 23 yards. You had Jermaine Burton, 1 reception, 21 yards. Spreading the ball around was Stetson Bennett, who went 17 to 29, 213, and a touchdown. He was sacked twice. Stetson Bennett, who attempted only 20 passes one time all season long, had almost 29 in the first half, or about midway through the third quarter, where they started icing the game away with running the football. But Stetson Bennett, again, taking advantage of a weaker, thin Tennessee defense, 17 to 29, 213, and a touchdown. Georgia had given up a combined 5 sacks all season long. Tennessee got 2 sacks in this football game, one's from Byron Young and the other from, of course, Matthew Butler, just eating him coming right up the middle. Jeremy Banks led the team in tackles, 15 tackles on the day. I don't think he played a good game. The film don't lie. And, I don't think he played a good game at all. I think he was overmatched a lot of the time on Saturday. Alante Taylor, 10 tackles from the quarterback spots. Trayvon Flowers had 9. Roman Harrison had 5. I mean, the defensive side aren't anything glaring, really. Byron Young, I mentioned, had a sack. Matthew Butler had a sack. You had Omari Thomas, a really nice play for a TFL in the second quarter. Matthew Butler had a TFL. Byron Young had a TFL. I mean, quarterback hurry. Jeremy Banks had a quarterback hurry. Warren Burrell, Matthew Butler. Theo, it looked like Aaron Beasley had 3 QB hurries. I mean, there's nothing really jumping off the page defensively against Georgia in this one for a Tennessee team that had 2 sacks and only 3 TFLs in the entire game. So, but you just look at the drive chart. Again, the reason Tennessee lost this football game, touchdown at the very beginning, punt, field goal, punt. Then there's that interception in the second quarter. This is the second quarter on. Interception, punt, punt, end of half. Third down, turnover on down, third quarter, turnover on downs, fumble. Fourth quarter, touchdown, end of half. All right, so that's Tennessee's drive chart there. It's just a team that was overmatched. I'm trying to come up with creative ways to talk about this football game. It's just kind of a team that was overmatched altogether. A lot of you guys watching were probably upset that Tennessee down 2 scores in the third quarter on 4th and 4 from inside the red zone. Josh Heupel decided to go for it. I don't hate the play call because, again, it's not like you're going to be the number one team in the country by kicking field goals in that situation, already down 2 scores in the fourth quarter. I know you're saying, get the points, but coaches don't think that way. They think, hey, let's go try to win this football game. So I didn't hate that. I hated the play call. I did hate the play call. Rolling Hendon Hooker out to his left and throwing across the grain, could not stand that play call at all. But, you know, that's just one of the things that I didn't like about this football game in terms of the play call. But there were a couple other times where I didn't like the play calls in this game. But, I mean, still, there were so many nice play designs in this football game that I just thought were really, really good. There was another fourth down in the second half whenever Hendon Hooker motioned Cedric Tillman out wide. He was in the skinny slot, motioned him out wide, and then threw the slant right back over the middle of the field. It spread out the defense a lot of the time and opened things up so Cedric Tillman could haul that in there for a critical fourth down catch. So there's a couple of things I liked in this game in terms of play design. And again, more of those notes are at volquest.com if you want to check them out. I also tweeted those out at _Kaner, a part of my film review. But those are the stats. That's kind of what it looked like in this football game. As you can tell, it was one-sided for a lot of the time. But again, Georgia's the top-ranked team in the country, and I don't even think it's close, guys. I really don't think it's close. A lot of people are saying, well, I don't think Georgia will win at all because their offense is not that impressive. Okay, but when you could run the football, when you have a quarterback that's smart, when you have a quarterback that can move around with his legs and create some things, that's another thing. Tennessee struggled with trying to keep the quarterback corralled, no pun intended, in terms of running for first downs. He did it on three occasions, once on the opening drive, once on the second drive of the game, or once in the second quarter, and then once more in the third quarter, which was a touchdown. Stetson Bennett has the ability to move the chains with his legs, and of course, he's a smart guy. So when you have a quarterback like that, when you have a good offensive line, when you have running backs that can control the clock, when you have a defense like we saw the other night, I mean, why not Georgia? I picked Georgia to win the national championship at the beginning of the season, and nothing has caused me to change my mind on that even after Tennessee played them. But Tennessee did some things. Tennessee did some things, especially in the first quarter, but just couldn't quite hold on. And we'll come back and I'll hand out my grades, and we'll talk a little Tennessee basketball and preview Twitter Tuesday here on the other side. Before we get into that, guys, it is Built Bar. If you haven't tried Built Bar by now, you are missing out. They say it's a protein bar, but it doesn't taste like one. You have to try one of these amazing bars for yourself to truly believe it. Most protein bars are chalky, waxy, or just plain hard to choke down, but a Built Bar is soft, covered in 100% real chocolate, and when you bite into it, you know you're eating something different. It's more of an experience and one that you're going to enjoy. In fact, you'd swear you're eating a candy bar. Built Bars are low in carbs, low in calories, low in sugar, low in fats, high in protein, all healthy benefits on top of just being purely delicious. And so many flavors, okay? You got coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, coconut almond, salted caramel, double chocolate, and cherry. And this month only, Built is coming out with new limited time flavors every 3 to 4 days. So you need to check the website and you need to check it often so you don't miss out. What is that website? It is Built.com. And while you're at Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. A couple more notes here as we get into our grades in segment number 3, recapping Tennessee against Georgia here on a Monday Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane. Thanks so much again for making Locked On Vols your first listen. Don't forget, guys, Twitter Tuesday. Get me in those Twitter Tuesday submissions at _Kaner and at Locked On Vols. Your questions, your comments, your concerns on Georgia, on recruiting, on basketball, whatever it can be, get those in there. And they can be about literally anything. I'll answer whatever you want if it's not too silly. All right. Before we get into our grades, I want to point this out. Tennessee explosive plays in the run game, none. And I grade that on run plays that are 15 yards or more. Hendon Hooker had a 14-yard run on the opening drive. Jabari Small had a run of 10 yards in the second quarter. Those were the two longest runs. So Tennessee explosive run plays, none. Tennessee explosive pass plays, and I grade that of 20 yards or more, three, all three to Cedric Tillman. Of course, in the second half, Tillman had gains of 51 yards and 53 yards, one from Hooker, one from Milton. And then earlier in the ball game, in the first quarter, Hooker threw one to Tillman for 29 yards. So three plays of 20 yards or greater for Tennessee in the explosive play category in terms of passing. Georgia explosive run plays, four. Georgia explosive pass plays, three. Stetson Bennett runs for first down. He had three, according to me. And Tennessee, of course, only had two sacks compared to Georgia's six, three TFLs compared to Georgia's nine, and Hooker overthrows. I counted it at five, though one I'm putting on Ramel Keaton for watching the football too long. So those are a couple of the other notes that I tracked. And, of course, you can see all my notes on this game at volquest.com. All right, let's get into the grades before we call it a day and we touch on a little Tennessee basketball. A quarterback, I'm going to grade it at a C. Again, Hendon Hooker, it was not horrible. He was not awful. He put the ball on the ground too many times for my liking. And, of course, he threw that interception to where I'm curious on what exactly happened. Was it a misread? Did the ball just sail on him? Because the ball was sailing on him all day. I mean, it was not good at all. I'm going to give him a C for his efforts against Georgia. I just think that, again, it was not horrible, but when Tennessee needed Hendon Hooker to be the best he's ever been, much like he's been all season long, he just wasn't. It's kind of shocking, too, seeing some of those throws, because Hendon Hooker has not done that at all this year, right? It's kind of like, well, what's going on there? But Hendon Hooker and the quarterback position overall, we'll get a C. Joe Milton came in there towards the end. He completed 6 of 10 passes through a touchdown. That was good to see him come off the bench and do that. Running backs, I will give a B. Yeah, the numbers are not great, but a lot of this is on Jabari Small, what I said earlier. I thought he was patient. I thought his vision was really, really good. He was running behind his blockers. He was letting the plays develop in front of him. I saw a lot from Jabari Small that the other night that I really, really liked. It's just, you know, at the end of the day, it's Georgia's front seven. It's tough. It's tough to run on him. Jalen Wright, he didn't really do a whole lot, averaged only 2.8 yards per carry on 5 carries. Hendon Hooker, he was running all over the place. I'll give Tennessee's running backs a B, though the numbers are really not that impressive, okay? Tight ends, I'll give a B. Yeah, they weren't involved in the passing game an awful lot. Prince Infant was targeted 4 times. He only had 1 reception. Jacob Warren targeted twice, didn't have any receptions. But I thought Jacob Warren, and particularly Prince Infant, blocked very well. I'll be interested to see on Pro Football Focus, when I look at those grades here in the next little bit, how Prince Infant blocked, because there were a number of times I made notes on my stat sheets on good block by Prince Infant, good block by Prince Infant. So because of the blocking efforts, I'm going to give the tight end position a B. Wide receivers, man, it's going to be a B. Cedric Tillman, career high, 200 yards receiving, back-to-back career highs in receptions and receiving yards, 10 receptions, 13 targets, 200 yards and a touchdown. It is so great to see Cedric Tillman having this type of success. And 2 big plays, gains of 51 and gains of 53. Again, hats off to Cedric Tillman, a really, really sharp day. Velus Jones, 8 receptions off 11 targets and a touchdown. Those two guys paced the wide receiver room. Javonte Payton goes down early. I think that hurt, although Ramel Keaton came off and literally he hadn't played at all this year, right? He played in the Tennessee Tech game, had a reception, but, you know, Keaton, 5 catches off 9 targets. Overall, a B for the wide receivers. I thought they did a fine job. And then the offensive line's going to get a D. Yeah, you racked up almost 400 yards of total offense. I get that. You did some things in the throw game. You did some things, had a lead in the first quarter. I get all that. But at the end of the day, again, protection is an issue. Hendon Hooker was sacked 5 times. Joe Milton was sacked 1 time. That continues to be an issue. And I know with Jordan Davis at the center, with Wyatt, who I believe got the best of Jerome Carvin all night long, the guys off the edges, Dean and is an incredible, incredible linebacker. Tindall in the middle. I mean, those guys are deep, and they have no drop-off. I get the challenges. But, man, you've got to do a better job. Protection has been such an issue, and so I'm going to give the offensive line a D. We flip over to the defensive line. Again, nothing flashy here defensively. It was really just Georgia moving the football down the football field methodically. Tennessee had a couple of 3-and-outs, which is really, really good. Overall, I give the defensive line a C. I like that Byron Young got back there, and I thought Byron Young played a really, really good game. He nearly had a couple more sacks, but he was tagged with 1. Matthew Butler had a sack. Tennessee had 3 TFLs. At times, I thought the defensive line played okay, but I'll give it a C. Linebacker plays a D. Jeremy Banks had 15 tackles. Aaron Beasley had 3 tackles. Of course, Solon Page had a tackle. Solon Page was thrown on that touchdown pass on man coverage. Aaron Beasley was not as bad as he's been the last 2 games, but I wouldn't call him good, and I thought Jeremy Banks played not a very good game. A lot of this is just the linebackers. Like, you'd have edge players setting the edge, coming up on run plays, setting the edge, taking on a blocker, and then you didn't have a backer flowing to make the tackle. And a lot of that time, it's hard to see, just in real time, but when I go back and watch it, I see it. Jeremy Banks would not flow and make a tackle. Aaron Beasley would not flow and make a tackle whenever, I don't know, Theo Jackson sets the edge, or Alante Taylor comes up and sets the edge, or Byron Young takes on that blocker, or that guard that's kicking out. You didn't have flowage over there to make the play, and so I'll give the linebackers a D. Defensive backs, I'll give a C. Stetson Bennett was able to do a lot of things, and Stetson Bennett's not a very good quarterback. Special teams, I give a B. McGrath was 1-on-1 on field goals. You had the punt coverage team was out there a couple of times. Thought Paxton Brooks did an okay job, set up nice field position. And coaching, I will give a B. There's only a couple of times, and I made notes of it, where I didn't like the play calls. But schematically, again, I thought Josh Heupel set his players up to be successful. Was calling 2 plays ahead a lot of the times. I thought that was really, really neat. And I thought Tim Banks did a better job of mixing things up from zone to man coverage in the back end with blitzes. So Tennessee falls to Georgia, the number one team in the country, 41-17 as expected. But Tennessee a chance to get bowl eligible, one win in the next two games. Tennessee will be bowl eligible. I expect Tennessee to win these last two games and finish the regular season at 7-5 and 4-4 in the SEC. And if anybody would have asked us that back in the summer, I think we all would have taken that, no questions asked. That's it on Tennessee football. Really, really quick, let's look at Tennessee basketball. A 94-62 win over ETSU and Desmond Oliver's club, the Buccaneers. Tennessee shot for the game 45% from the field, 43% from three. Only took 23 three-pointers, so not as many as game number one. It was 88.9% from the charity stripe. Olivier Kumwa continues to just develop. 23 points, a career high. He had 8 rebounds as well. You had Victor Bailey Jr., 9 points off the bench. Justin Powell, 11 points off the bench. 16 points for Kennedy Chandler. He was 2 of 3 from long range. Tennessee basketball led by as many as what? Yeah, Tennessee led by as many as 40 with just under 2 minutes left in the ball game. A good win for the University of Tennessee over ETSU on Sunday. Before we call it quits, want to give a quick shout out to Jonathan McCroskey. All right, he was at a Friendsgiving celebration on Saturday with my girlfriend and a lot of our mutual friends and her family, and I was obviously not there covering the Tennessee game. Jonathan listens to this podcast each and every day, says that he enjoys the content, so I'm a big fan of you, Jonathan. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast, and we will definitely get together at the next Friendsgiving and get together. And thank you all so much for listening to this podcast, making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. Don't forget Twitter Tuesday tomorrow. Anything you have, DM me at underscore Kaner at Locked On Vols and on Facebook at Kaner on Air. Locked On SEC should be your second listen of the day. Chris Gordy will recap all the action of the SEC over the football weekend. We'll do it again tomorrow, guys, for a Twitter Tuesday. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Monday, everybody.